We welcome now, friends. Well, let's see. Let's slither into Manhattan and get to John Kearns, Irish-American writers and artist, treasurer, and salon producer. Now, first of all, you're very welcome, John. How are you doing?
Thank you, Adrian. Thank you.
Now, the salon producer, that smacks of something, you know, that Malachy McCourt would come up with.
Yes, it actually it was Malachy's idea. Malachy was the one who came up with the idea about 6 years ago to give the members of our organization a chance to get up and read and perform. So what we do is we give people 5 or 8 minute slots to perform whatever they like. So we have a lot of writers and musicians and poets and filmmakers and comedians and any type of artist that we can fit into that kind of slot. We give them a chance to get up and perform. So we do it twice a month all year round.
And it is indeed, it's a very popular, it is a great outlet for new writers. And, you know, you do attract some of the greatest internationally renowned members of the arts, as you've outlined, including, of course, Pete Hamill, Jimmy Breslin. Many would say you've outdone yourselves this year with your guest of honor, you know, Phil Donahue, who a lot of people thought had just faded into oblivion and would be quite happy indeed to stay there. Tell us, you know, how did you reach out to Phil Donahue?
Well, he was the Grand Marshal of the St. Pat's for All Parade, and Kathleen Walsh Darcy, who is one of the organizers of that parade, had his contact information. I actually had a chance to meet him that day. We just basically emailed his assistant, and we've sort of been keeping up with them. They were happy to accept it. We have the it's the Eugene O'Neill Lifetime Achievement Award. We give out every year on the Monday that's closest to Eugene O'Neill's birthday. So actually this year it falls on O'Neill's birthday, which is October 16th.
So we're
honoring Phil Donahue as his lifetime achievement. We've also honored, actually Malachy McCourt was the recipient last year. We had Pete Hamill, Judy Collins, William Kennedy, Kieran O'Reilly, and Charlotte Moore from the Irish Rep. So it's a great list of people. This is the ninth year we've done this, I think.
Now, your events again across the board. You know, it was initially established. You know, basically for writers and those who had no place really to trot out their works, and it filled that gap between the aspiring writers, actors, and then of course it spread out from there between there and a prospective publisher. Would that be kind of accurate in the sense that here was a place, this was an organization, as I say, where you got a limited amount of time to put your best foot forward?
Yeah, that's those salons that we have twice a month, and they're great events because we have well-established people. We have people that are on book tours, and you know, we have someone as well-known as Malachy McCourt and people like that who get up and read and sing and do whatever they like. And then we have people who are reading for the first time in public. So it's a great mixture where we have, you know, people who are aspiring writers and performers and people who are already well-established who come, you know, selling their books and things like that. So Well, we had a great track record. We have, like, right now, John McDonough, who was a one of our salon presenters. He came, you know, over the course of a year or two, presenting pieces of his play. It was called Cat's Fist. Now it's called Off the Meter. It's going to be at the Irish Rep. So he developed that entire thing at our salon, but now it's going to be, you know, off Broadway at the Irish Repertory Theater. So it will be a lot of success stories like that too. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, initially, yes, it was, you know, writers primarily, but it also gave a platform and continues to give a platform to poets, to novelists, musicians and filmmakers and painters and theater artists. You know, it is a great platform.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's made, we try to have as much variety as we can. So, yeah, I mean, as you said, it tends to be you know, writers and artists and writers and poets, but we get we try to mix in as much as other art forms as we can. So we always have music, and like I said, we have comedy, we have filmmaking, we have whatever we can put into a, you know, an 8-minute slot. We try to do it. We even had one juggler.
Yeah.
We have dancers. We have dance performances.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, yourself as an author of short story collection Dreams and Dull Realities, and indeed a novel called The World, how did you get into writing? What was that trigger in your youth that says, I think I can do this?
Well, I was, you know, always writing sort of as a child. And then I think when I really became serious about it as a teenager, writing short stories in high school and things like that. And I had an AP English class where the teacher would encourage us to write our journals every day. And he was a published poet himself. And I remember thinking, like, if I can impress this guy, if this teacher thinks that I can write, then maybe I do have something. Because I had been told by teachers as I was growing up that I had a flair for writing. So, and he really loved my writing, and I just, you know, continued from there. I got much more serious about it when I was, I guess, around 16, and it's just sort of been going ever since.
Now, when you're establishing yourself as a writer, at what point does it click, say, you know something? I would like also to be a playwright in your case of dramas, including the In the Wilderness and The Bucket of Blood. Are those two separate parts of the brain that, you know, that click in, or does one lead to the other, chicken and the egg?
Well, I always read plays and admired, you know, Sean O'Casey and a lot of other writers, and, you know, Arthur Miller and Tennessee Williams and people like that. So I guess part of it was just, you know, living in New York City. There's such an opportunity. There's so many actors and theaters around that I thought, you know, it's a way of finding an audience, of having your work in front of people and having that thrill of hearing the actors, you know, perform your work and seeing the audience reaction. So I think part of it is just being in New York City and saying, well, you know, I've been writing fiction and writing other things. Let me try writing plays where, you know, I can easily find people who are interested in performing them. And you know, so it just sort of started with that, and just one thing led to another. And, you know, I started for about 10 years. I was involved in writing and producing plays, my own plays.
Yeah, your president, your current president, and some of the board of directors include Larry Kerwin of Black 47 fame, who is also, he hosts his own program on Sirius Satellite Radio.
Yeah.
Somebody who, even though much was said and done, and in typical Irish fashion, you know, a farewell party forever and ever to Black 47, and of course the next, within a month, those who, you know, made their name Black 47 were showing up, none as prominent as Larry Kerwin, who is obviously, you know, is somebody to be reckoned with, and somebody who
absolutely
can't get, you know, all of those, you know, special artistic genes can't put them to sleep. You have Larry, you have Mary Pat Kelly, who's vice president, and of course, you're the treasurer of the organization. So you're the one that they have to find at the end of an evening.
It's true, yeah.
Tell us a little bit, if you would, though, about Eugene O'Neill in capsule form.
Eugene O'Neill himself?
Well,
he's probably our greatest greatest American playwright, and he was born in Times Square, actually a few blocks away from where we have the Eugene O'Neill Lifetime Achievement Award, which is at Rosie O'Grady's on 52nd Street and 7th Avenue. So O'Neill was born in Times Square. His father was a famous actor who acted in melodramas like The Count of Monte Cristo.
Yeah.
And O'Neill wrote a lot of experimental plays and very realistic sort of kitchen sink drama plays. He captured a lot of American, Irish-American slang. And I think one of the things that he, one of his famous statements was that he said one of the things the critics missed about him was that that he was Irish. He considered himself to be very Irish. And I think even James Joyce, that was James Joyce's comment, said that he thought Eugene O'Neill was very Irish, which could have been a compliment or an insult, depending what Joyce meant by that.
whatever sold at the time. But he, the Lifetime Achievement Award, again, being presented to Phil Donahue. You know, many would say that Phil Donahue was, you know, he was on the ground floor and founded, one might say, you know, talk radio, talk television. He was the pioneer there somewhere. And he definitely didn't shy away from controversy in the early days.
No, not at all. Yeah.
He was right there in the beginning when a lot of people did not feel that we needed, that added on to, all of the other type of programming. And nearly serves them right because, of course, Phil was out there. He was the first one to stick his neck out and let the chips fall where they may. But he's really a character. Many would say, other than his surname, that Phil never considered himself to be that Irish. It was like a tagline. What did you find on that?
I don't know. I guess his surname was marked him out as kind of as Irish. And he went to, I know he's an alumnus of Notre Dame, mm-hmm. so he has sort of that connection. But yeah, I don't know. I grew up in Ohio, but yeah, he was an amazing talk show host. He was the first one to have audience participation, have the audience be able to, you know, stand up and ask questions and have callers, you know, call in and ask questions from his guests. So
a bit risky at the time, considering that this was live and there wasn't a 7-second delay. In a very conservative Federal Communications Commission rules and regulations, but he plowed ahead like, what do you want from me? Just, you know,
it's true. And I had a chance, you know, just through, you know, trying to promote this event. I was looking at some of the videos and sharing some of them on Facebook, and so just looking at the videos of his shows. He's an amazing kind of devil's advocate, you know, with his different, you know, people that he probably disagreed with, but was able to have very good conversations with them, and always never sort of lost his temper or got, no. He was able to just kind of like talk to people in a very rational sort of way and get them to explain their points of view as well.
Right, and of course he would be a pot stirrer. I almost said the other thing, but he would. He was a pot stirrer, and he has a great evening. Now tell us, where is this going to take place, and how would listeners who would enjoy, meeting Phil Donahue anyway, where does this take place?
So it's going to be at the Manhattan Club above at Rosie O'Grady's.
Yeah.
It's upstairs at Rosie O'Grady's on October 16th from 6 to 9 p.m. And the Rosie O'Grady's is at 7th Avenue, 52nd Street.
Right.
And, so Phil Donahue is going to be there. Obviously, he's the recipient. We're going to have Alan Alda is going to come to speak, to give a tribute to Phil. I mean, Phil's wife, Marlo Thomas, will be there. And there's some other special surprise guests that I'm not allowed to talk about. But so it's a great evening. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year, our only fundraiser really. And it's a fun night of it's sort of a cocktail party atmosphere. It's a fun thing where people can mingle and you meet people who are famous and not so famous, and there's the buffet and open bar.
Yeah.
And the I guess the easiest way to get tickets is to go to our website. It's IAMWA.com.
As in Irish American Writers, Artists.
And Artists, yes.
Yeah. .org. And in fact, we can always check out Irish American Writers and Artists on Facebook. We want to wish you lots of luck with that one. And
thank you.
Each year, because of your tremendous, not only your scheduled guests, but of the many surprises of the evening with the guests, like I say, who you don't use by virtue of their own, let's say that they obviously support the organization. They like to stop in. And it never ends. Some of the greatest surprises in terms of your supporters and those who appreciate the Irish-American writers and artists will be there. So, as they say back in Clare Morris, in County Mayo, where your grandparents came from, they'd say, hey, you never know. And they were saying that long before the New York State Lottery got a hold of it. But it's great. A little bit, give us a wrap-up of your own grandparents coming from Clare Morris and how that affected your own life.
Well, my father's parents came from Clare Morris in Mayo, and I still have a lot of cousins there now. So we've gotten quite close with them over the last 20 years or so. I've gone to a lot of their weddings and stuff like that. I didn't know my grandfather, but I didn't my grandmother. She would come and stay with us sometimes, and we went over to her house a lot. She was a wonderful woman, very very kind and very generous to everyone. And she's sort of legendary in that way, the way she sort of took care of people, even the kids in her neighborhood that didn't belong to her. She was always giving them money to go to the movies or feeding them, and just a great lady. And I remember spending a lot of time with her, drinking cups of tea and talking about Ireland and things like that. So she was just a wonderful woman. Her name was Delia O'Brien, I still have a lot of relatives related through the O'Briens, as I said, back in Ireland, back in Clare Morris and Kilchemaw and the Knock and all around that area. So it's great. I'm still in touch with them a lot, and really close friendships with them. So it's
that's great.
Yeah.
And of course, you, like some more of us, are learning the hard way that if you have cousins just anywhere in Ireland and you have the total misjudgment of going to one of them, then you're on the hook for the rest of your life. And all you have to do is miss one of the others, and you can, this is like snakes and ladders. You're right down to the bottom again. So, but it's not the worst habit in the world.
Yeah. No, that was great. It's a great time. There's nothing like an Irish wedding. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to miss one anyway.
Okay. Again, this is taking place, friends. And if you want to get on Monday, October 16th, it's at the Manhattan Club. That's upstairs from Rosie O'Grady's. Check it out. It's the Eugene O'Neill Lifetime Achievement Award. And, of course, the guest of honor, the man of the year, is none other than Phil Donahue. IAMWA, as in Irish American Writers and Artists.org, or check out Irish American Writers and Artists on Facebook. Again, my guest, John Kearns, American Irish Writers and Artists, the treasurer of the men who holds the purse. Okay. Okay, thanks a lot.
Well, thank you very much, Adrian.
That. Okay.
Thank you.
And friends, you are listening to irishradio.com, irishradio.com worldwide. Any of our interviews, all of our interviews are archived, but any that you might have missed or you'd like to hear again, log on to irishradio.com.